mornings, I'm Chris Oakes. Back after the long weekend, a well-earned break for lawmakers after multiple marathon sessions on Capitol Hill, the House finally passed its version of the president's big, beautiful bill. Congressman Bob Latta will join us to discuss some of the key provisions contained in this massive legislation package. Also coming up this morning, money is tight these days and everyone is looking for ways to stretch their budget. We have some simple ways to do that so you can afford all the fun stuff you want to do this summer. And we'll talk about programs and activities coming up in June from the Hancock Park District. Michelle Rumschlag will be here to tell us what's happening. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Tuesday, May 27th, 2025. By the way, I don't know if you realize this, knew this, had heard about this, or noticed it yourself, but it's another palindrome day today. If you read it 5/27/25, and then you read it backwards, it says 5/27/25, and apparently this is a big deal for dozens of couples who have gotten married in Las Vegas over the past week. They can forever say that they were wed on a palindrome date. The numbers reading the same forward and backward. The Bliss Wedding Chapel, just that one alone, and there are lots of them in Vegas. Just about every casino and resort has one, and then there are, you know, a bunch of independent little wedding chapels out there. The Bliss Wedding Chapel says it had more than 30 weddings on Sunday that were actually on the schedule, not including walk-ins. This month is very rare in that it has 10 straight palindrome dates from May 20th through May 29th. So that's the last palindrome day for a while, I guess. It's May 29th. So if you're thinking getting married, a palindrome day, get that done sometime here in the next couple, 3 days here. Not that it will help you necessarily remember your anniversary, but it is interesting nonetheless. So another palindrome day today. Point that out. So do you start your day with a check your horoscope? I have not checked my horoscope today. I don't know what today will bring. I don't know if you're one of those who does that. Apparently, about 30% of Americans use astrology at least once a year. Or get a tarot card reading. I have never had a tarot card reading. But apparently, I happened to see this survey on the Newswire. It was nearly 10,000 adults responded to this survey. About 30% of us will use astrology or tarot card readings, that kind of thing, at least once a year. Only 10% believe the practice brings them helpful insights. So I don't know why they do it if not for that, but says 1% of the population rely on these things a lot when making major life decisions. Okay. Those 65 and older, least likely to be fans of astrology. But it is big business, and this is what caught my eye. On this, these fortune-telling specialties generated $2.3 billion in revenue last year. $2.3 billion in revenue. So, wow, that is pretty amazing. Start your day by checking your horoscope. Let's see here. A couple of items from the Newswire, stuff that you might have missed over the long holiday weekend, if you weren't paying attention to the news. Scientists keeping a close eye on the situation after a series of moderate earthquakes struck early yesterday after off the coast of Northern California. Northern California with a bunch of temblers. U.S. Geological Survey says at least 6 quakes were reported. The strongest measured 4.4. Now, 4.4 in California is, I mean, that's no big deal. But the number of quakes in quick succession has gotten earthquake specialists' attention. The quakes all centered about 40 to 50 miles southwest of Eureka. Eureka! We've got earthquakes. That's the other thing. In short succession and in a very concentrated area, all centered in that same general vicinity. So apparently, California's about to drop into the ocean. So I just want to make sure you're aware of that. Because that seems like that should be a big news story. That would be... That seems like that's rather important. Well, we got to make room for Canada to become the next state. So, sorry, California, you have to go. Let's see here. This is big news. Big news. A father and son from Michigan have said, are claiming that they saw the legendary Bigfoot from Monroe, Michigan. So, fairly close to home here. The pair, father and son, were out fishing near Monroe earlier this month when the father says his dog started running after a mysterious creature in the woods. He said the creature was standing on two legs, about 6 feet tall, kind of looked like a gorilla. He spoke to a Bigfoot research group, and that's what he believes. He saw Sasquatch. He said the whole encounter happened so fast he didn't have time to take a picture. Oh, how convenient! How convenient that he didn't have time to take a picture. Okay. All right. But apparently there's a Sasquatch on the loose just north of the state border. Monroe, Michigan. That's where we've got the latest Bigfoot sighting. It just seems like that would be an important story to talk about. Also, I saw this on the Newswire. Impressive science. This is pretty wild. Humans could soon have the ability to see in the dark. Thanks to nanotechnology, scientists from China working with researchers at the University of Massachusetts Chan Medical School have created contact lenses infused with specialized nanoparticles that let people see in the dark and also would allow people to see through thick fog, apparently, which would be helpful this early in the morning. If you're in a fog... After the long three-day weekend, maybe this is what you need. The nanoparticles absorb infrared light and then convert it into images that the human eye cannot usually see. The lenses have only thus far been tested on a small group of people in China with normal vision who wouldn't ordinarily have to wear contact lenses, but the study was supported by the Human Frontier Science Program. As the late Paul Harvey was fond of saying, this day's news of most lasting significance could be this. Could be contact lenses. And could you, by extension, put these same nanoparticles into, like, specialized pairs of glasses that would allow you to see in the dark and see in the fog? I don't know why not. But if more research is needed, stay tuned. If this becomes a thing... Some time in the future, you can say, I heard about this on May 27th, the day after Memorial Day, on Good Mornings. I remember talking about it. It's important stuff. And now that summer is here, this may be the biggest news of the day. Now that summer is here, Creamsicle has been named summer's official flavor, or flavors. The nostalgic flavor... also known as orange cream or dreamsicle, usually contains notes of orange, vanilla, and cream. So creamsicle flavors is the flavor of the summer this year. Coca-Cola has launched a new orange cream flavor. Vita Coco has introduced an orange and cream variety. If you're looking for a classic, the Good Humor Creamsicle Bar is always a big choice. However, if you have ice cream and orange soda at home, you can make yourself a classic float. So I guess the creamsicle, orange creamsicle, is the flavor of the summer. I don't know who gets to decide this, but apparently that's what it says. So now you know. And I know that your summer would not be complete unless you knew that. So I want to make sure that you know that first thing right out of the gate on this day after Memorial Day. And then we kick off the summer season. You're welcome, America. There you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Tuesday morning started.
I'm Jay Fox on the Ohio News Network. Morrow County Sheriff John Hinton confirms that a sheriff's deputy responding to a domestic dispute in Marengo was shot in an altercation with the suspect Monday night. The deputy was taken to a nearby hospital where he died from his injuries. The suspect was also shot and remains in serious condition. The incident is being investigated by the Delaware County Sheriff's Office with assistance from the Ohio BCI. In a brief statement, Sheriff Hinton said, quote, "There are no words to express the pain being felt by our office today," end quote. No further information has been released. In Clark County in southwest Ohio, 71-year-old John Hawk Sr. of Tremont City was killed in a motorcycle accident in Pike Township near Springfield Sunday night. Hawk's three-wheel motorcycle went off the road, hit a house, and overturned. CareFlight transported Hawk to Miami Valley Hospital, where he died from his injuries. Highway Patrol says no other vehicles were involved, and no one was inside the house at the time of the crash. The crash prompted a brief road closure, and the incident is under investigation. Yesterday, the Cincinnati Reds beat the Kansas City Royals 7-4, while the Los Angeles Dodgers beat the Cleveland Guardians 7-2. Nick Martinez got the win for the Reds. Gavin Williams took the loss for the Guardians. Both teams face the same opponents again this evening. For the Ohio News Network, I'm Jay Fox.
And now our cover story this morning. After multiple marathon sessions on Capitol Hill the last couple of weeks, the House finally pushed through its version of the president's big, beautiful bill the tail end of last week. Congressman Bob Latta is with us on the line this morning to talk about some of the provisions contained in this massive piece of legislation. And Congressman, I have to ask, first of all, I mean, you know, this was, like I said, a two-week-plus saga between marking up the bill and then actually getting it through the House and the full House vote last week. Have you ever seen something like this? I mean, been part of, in your years in Congress, been part of something this intense and this long out and involved?
Well, in the Energy and Commerce Committee, of which I'm a member, back in 2017, we went for 27 hours and 40 minutes nonstop in a markup. And some of the new members on the committee said, maybe we can break it. I said, no, that's a record you don't want to break. But we did go for 26 hours and 20 minutes.
So, yeah.
But yeah, you go through these marathons to try to get this done. But it's really important, especially on this piece of legislation. You know, there was talk, and I, you know, you and I have talked in the past, should it be one bill, should it be two bills?
Right.
I think this really demonstrates why we can only get one bill through. To try to do two, I think it would be an impossibility.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we're looking at, there's two big parts of this bill. One, we got to, you know, pull back on the spending because we're paying $1 trillion a year now just to pay the interest on the national debt. So we need to do that on the spending side. But on the other side of this, at the end of this year, if we don't get this thing done, every American is going to see their taxes go up. We're going to see about a $4.5 trillion tax
right.
increase go across the board.
Yeah. There are certainly some very good parts of the bill. And I think most people would agree that making the tax cuts permanent from the previous Trump administration, more border funding, more border security funding, that kind of thing. Critics, however, have taken issue and pointed at the Medicaid cuts and also to the cuts to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program or SNAP program, but especially with respect to the Medicaid cuts, because, again, falls under the Committee on Energy and Commerce, which you are a part of. What do you say to those who argue that these cuts are akin to abandoning those who are most in need?
Well, first, you know, we want to make sure that we preserve Medicaid. And Medicaid is out there for four classes of individuals, the very young, the very old, the disabled, and pregnant women. That's what Medicaid is there for. Mm-hmm. And what we've seen happen, especially under the Democrats, is this, especially with Medicaid expansion, it just pretty much blew the doors off of everything. And so what we want to make sure is that it's there. We want to make sure that those who are entitled to it can get it. But, you know, in committee, the Democrats are saying that there are no illegals getting Medicaid. And unfortunately, the very next day, I wish it would happen the day before, Governor Newsom, the Democrat governor of California, came out and said Medi-Cal, what they have out there, they have so many illegals on it that he said, and his words were exactly, he wants them to have skin in the game and then to start actually having to pay something to receive Medicaid, the illegals. So, you know, this is the problem we've seen happen, that so much has just gotten out of control. And we want to make sure that, you know, the program's there in the future. But as I mentioned, you know, when you're thinking about now that paying interest on the national debt is the second highest payment we make, and the Ways and Means Committee, you know, and I think they're wrong on their date, but in 2050 they're saying that just paying interest will be the largest thing that we pay. So how do you pay for anything else if all you're going to be doing is paying interest on the debt, not even paying down the debt?
It is certainly a major concern, and one of the reasons why so much attention in this bill is focused on reducing costs of government. But with respect to the Medicaid issue, again, critics will say that by reducing the amount of federal spending, this shifts the burden and increased burden to the states, which also can't afford it. And the point has been made that in Ohio alone, 40% of children are, you know, that's how they get their health care is through Medicaid. So aren't you basically shifting that burden to the states where they can't afford it either?
Well, what the states, some states have done, and Ohio is one, is how they kind of go back and forth where the money's coming from. And so, you know, they took advantage of what they call this opening. And so we're not going to really close it. We're telling other states that you hadn't already been doing something, you can't do it now. But the one thing the states are going to have to do is really look at how they're on the Medicaid side, because usually it's supposed to be a 60-40 split between the state and the federal governments. Mm-hmm. But, and again, our problem is that, you know, when you're looking at, you know, almost running a $2 trillion deficit, that we are just in a situation in Washington that we can't keep it up.
Yeah.
And so the question really comes down to, look, we've got to get it under control, but it's also going back to saying that who's it really out there for? Mm. And so that's the number, as I mentioned, the four categories. And so, again, for, you know, for children and the elderly, the disabled, and expectant mothers, those are the ones we have to watch. But at the same time, when you look at, you know, the number of illegals that are getting Medicaid, and again, you have that, you know, they didn't pay anything in. They just came here, and all of a sudden they're getting it. And so that's what it says, like out in California, it's blowing their budget completely apart out there. And that's why the governor is saying even now that the illegals have to start doing something if they want to receive Medicaid in California, because the state can't afford it.
Yeah. Does this reopen the whole debate over how we pay for health care in this country? I mean, for those that will find that they no longer qualify, and I get the argument about illegals and all of that, but whenever cuts like these are made, and not just in Medicaid, really any program of the federal government, there are others that are truly in need that end up getting caught up in this as well, and will ultimately fall through the cracks. Does this reopen that whole debate over health care, how we get it and how it's paid for in this country?
Well, and again, I think when you're looking at Medicaid, you know, we're looking at saying about the illegals, but there's another very large point in this piece of legislation saying if you're a don't have dependent children, that you and you're an able-bodied adult like everybody else, you need to go out and work. Now, and here's the thing: I want people to remember, really, under this piece of legislation, we're saying you have to only have to work 20 hours a week.
Yeah.
And, or, you know, or go to school for 20 hours a week or be a caregiver for 20 hours a week. That's all we're asking. And so, so it's like, it's saying that, look, if you're able to work, we need you to go out there to work. And because again, everybody else that's not receiving Medicaid, and one of the years ago when I was in my district in a factory, and I can still remember a young mother who was working at a factory asked me a question about, you know, people that were getting benefits. He says, and she says, you know, it's just not fair. We are all working. Mm-hmm. We're paying for child care. We have to pay for the gasoline to get to work. And it's not fair to us that we're doing that, but they're not.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's what we're saying in this. Is like, folks, just put a little bit of this. And the other thing is, we'd love to have you then get permanent employment, but you get insurance from wherever you're working. So, you know, but again, it's just getting people back into the system of.
Let me ask.
Just able-bodied adult.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Let me ask you this. We'll get you out of here on this. For all that it all that it took to get this bill through the House, it's still not a done deal. It faces an even greater challenge in the Senate. Now, Speaker Johnson has told the Senate that he wants to see minor changes in the Senate, but of course he doesn't make that decision. Are there, and ultimately you'll have to bring those two versions together before it is sent to the president for his signature. Are there any non-starters in here that you would not be able to accept if the Senate changes them?
Well, first of all, I think on the tax side, I think there's pretty good agreement that we've got to make these tax cuts permanent, so you don't have this, you know, this back and forth, this, you know, being whipped back and forth every few years, especially for small businesses out there that see over 40%, you know, see a 40% tax rate out there. So we want to make sure that, you know, people can plan out there. We want to make sure that, you know, the death tax numbers don't make it hard for small businesses and farmers to be able to keep their farms and pass them to get them to the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's going to come down to that over in the Senate, you know, that they, even though it's a 53-47 over there, they're actually, their percentage number is even higher, as you know, when you look at the, on the, and to the 220 to 213, because unfortunately we've had three Democrat members of the House pass away, or I should say 212.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when it comes down to it, we're going to have to look at it this way. You know, Ronald Reagan famously said, you know, I'd rather get 80% of something than go off the cliff with all flags flying. And I just know this, we have got to get this done for the American people. And, you know, all the naysayers, the liberal press in Washington said that the House couldn't get this done. We just couldn't get this worked through.
Yeah.
Well, in the end, we did. And, you know, the SALT numbers are higher than I'd like to see them. But again, we've got, you know, a few members, very few Republicans in the state of New York or in California. But those are the people that give us the ability to be able to write this legislation. If we didn't have them, we'd be in the minority.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, you're never going to get 100%. And that's the way this country was founded. You go back to the Constitution Convention in 1787, the back and forth that went on there. Nobody got 100%, but we were able to get this on an even keel. And that's what we have to do here. We've got to make sure that we have an economy that can move, that we don't have a tax code that, you know, has a disincentive to people to go out to work.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how many times I've had people in my office, and again, being on the Energy and Commerce Committee, all of these entrepreneurs and inventors that are coming to this country from around the world, because they say, this is the place you can get it done. There's a big story in the Wall Street Journal in the last week about Europe and how bad it is over there, that things aren't happening.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you look at their system and you look at the United States and people say, this is where we want to be.
Yeah.
And so that's why I want to make sure is we encourage people in this country that want to always do things here and make this still the greatest country on the world and the world's ever seen.
And we will leave it there. Obviously, more work to be done before it hits the president's desk. We will continue to follow the progress of the big, beautiful bill passed by the House last week. Congressman Bob Latta, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Well, certainly you don't need me to tell you how expensive it is for the average family these days, with inflation up 23% since 2020, groceries and housing up nearly 25%, gas prices up 42% in the last 5 years. Budgets are tight, and everyone is looking for ways to stretch their dollars. And lifestyle expert Yvette Rios is with us this morning to share some of her favorite money-saving tips. And you know, Yvette, maximizing our money becomes even more important now that summer is here, because we have all of these other things that we want to do besides just get by.
You know, you're 100% right. I mean, summer is the, you know, the time to go on vacation and to do all the fun things. So yeah, it's even more important than ever now to really take a good hard look at our expenses and try to trim as much as possible.
So among your favorite money saving tips, first off, are a couple of ways to save on home energy costs.
Yeah. So, I mean, one of the things that we've done in our family is we switched to smart thermostats, which wasn't a big expense to do, but it now is saving us 10% or so a year on our heating and cooling costs, which is substantial when you look at it, you know, on an annual basis.
Yeah.
The other thing that I really try to do in our family is I try to meal prep. Do you do any meal prepping yourself?
You know, we were just talking about this the other day on the program in terms of making sure that your family is still eating well during the summer months when schedules can get crazy. But I like this, too. It can really save you money, you say.
Yeah, it really can. Because, you know, if you plan out your meals for the week, you can buy things in bulk, which will save you money. But then also, you're not ordering delivery food, which honestly can be expensive. But even worse than that, really can be not so great for you to eat all the time. You know, restaurants don't care if they add a ton of butter or salt or whatever to their food. So by cooking at home, you're also making sure that your family eats healthier meals. And then, you know, really taking a look at your memberships, because, you know, I don't know about you, but I've got like a AAA membership. I've got, you know, credit cards that have all kinds of bonus features and perks that you want to look at those and see what you can utilize to save you money, because you may have benefits that you're not even using. And then the final thing is subscriptions. You know, they are can really, really pile up if you don't stay ahead of them. And getting together as a family every month or so, reviewing what you're paying for, allows you to make sure that you're not duplicating costs.
Yeah, that's the big thing. I think I saw a story one time about somebody who said they were paying like for 5 or 6 Netflix subscriptions because signed up multiple times and had just forgotten. And you know, these things can get out of hand pretty quickly.
You know, the subscriptions have been very intense for all families, right? Because you've got a show you want to watch on Netflix, another one you love on Apple TV, so you pay for all of it.
Right.
So, for example, Metro by T-Mobile, with some of their plans, they're going to give you free Amazon Prime. They're also going to give you MLS Season Pass, which if you're a soccer fan, my kids are obsessed, it's a great thing to have. MLB, for those baseball fans in your family, is also included. And if you, you know, let's say you're a more like heavy user of your cell phone, you need something a little bit more robust, you can go with T-Mobile. And plans at T-Mobile will offer $200 in added value every month. So Netflix, Hulu, and Apple TV are included in their experience plans, which is just crazy because that adds up to a lot of monthly savings.
Absolutely.
You're also going to get in-flight Wi-Fi, which, I mean, it would annoy me to no end before I switched to T-Mobile that other people could get on Wi-Fi for free on planes and I had to pay for it.
And that actually kind of brings up the point to make that it's worth, you know, doing some research and shopping around for things like your wireless plan or your internet service provider or your insurance, coverage or whatever it might happen to be, looking for better deals that may be either less expensive or fit your needs better or both.
I 100% agree. And now it's easier than ever to do that research. You know, you have influencers that are creating content around savings that, you know, can show you like, oh, what is the difference between cell phone plans or insurance or, you know, so you don't have to necessarily do all that heavy lifting yourself. But I 100% agree it's worth it to take the time and to not feel stuck with your current provider, because there are better options that are going to save you money and give you more coverage. Because, you know, before we would have to decide, like, do I want the best like cell phone network or do I want to save money? And now what's exciting is that T-Mobile has really combined those two, so you don't have to sacrifice either.
Few things that you can do. None of them will really be all of that difficult or time consuming, but it could end up saving you big money, pay big dividends on down the line as we all look for ways to maximize our income, stretch our dollars, given everything that we want to do with our money this summer. Again, lifestyle expert Yvette Rios with us this morning.
Thank you. It has been such a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you so much. Have a great one.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM. We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
We begin in the international file, this morning in Norway, where Johan Helberg was fast asleep in his home in Binset, is that right? Binset, Norway? I guess it's really not important what the town is. Anyway, Johan was fast asleep, not a care in the world, when his neighbor suddenly called him to let him know that a cargo ship had run aground in his backyard. Now, that's not a call that you get every day, I would think, even... A cargo ship had run aground. It missed the house by just a few feet. If the ship had hit the rocky outcrop right next to it, it would have lifted up and hit the house hard, he said. Somehow, Mr. Helberg slept right through it all. Cargo ship running aground in his backyard. According to spokesperson for the shipping company that owns the ship, at the present time, we do not know what caused the incident, and we are awaiting the conclusion of the ongoing investigation by the relevant authorities. Police suspect that the officer responsible for steering the ship may have fallen asleep himself. So the captain of the ship was asleep. Johan was asleep. It almost ended badly for both of them. But can you imagine getting that call from your neighbor? Hey, do you realize there's a cargo ship in your backyard? Wow. Elsewhere in the broken news. Now again, and we've mentioned it before, we do have a general policy in the broken news, that when people lose their life, it has to pass a really high bar in order to be included in the broken news, because it's not funny when people die. But occasionally, the circumstances surrounding the fatality are so unique that we just can't resist. And that is the case out of Polk County, Florida, where Timothy Schultz sadly has passed away after a bizarre encounter with law enforcement there in Polk County. Sheriff Grady Judd says Mr. Schultz swam across a lake where he appears to have been bitten by an alligator. But that's not what did him in. He then charged at deputies with a pair of garden shears. I don't know whether he was carrying the garden shears as he was swimming across the lake, and if he had garden shears, why he didn't, you know, go after the alligator that bit him. But he was bit by an alligator, then charged at deputies with garden shears. Deputies tased him twice, but he still managed to climb into a running patrol car and tried to grab a deputy's gun. And that's when officers had had enough, open fire. and Mr. Schultz was declared dead at the scene. Man! The sheriff says Mr. Schultz had a long history of meth-related arrests and was just released from jail last week. Wow! That's... Wow! I mean, it's sad, and it's tragic, but wow! Man. There's all kinds of weird in the state of Florida. Speaking of the Sunshine State, because they always have more than their fair share of broken news items. In Punta Gorda, the Punta Gorda Adventures Tiki Boat crew. So I don't know if you've been to Florida and taken one of these cruises. They got tiki boats, and they've got dinner cruises, and they've got, you know, all of these things. So the tiki boat crew, Punta Gorda, was out, you know, on the water, and they spotted a bleeding man struggling to stay afloat after he jumped into the water from a different boat and landed on some rocks. They quickly sprung into action, the crew of the tiki boat, throwing the man a life ring and pulling him to safety. Now, the next logical question is, he had jumped from a different boat. He was on a karaoke cruise, and that's the boat that he jumped from. So the next logical question is, why didn't the people on the karaoke boat go back and pick him up? Police said the man had been drinking on a separate karaoke cruise, jumped into the water to try and impress his friends. He was transported to the hospital, and he's going to be okay. But as for the crew and passengers of the karaoke boat, they just went right back to singing. The charter manager, Cole Kelly, of the karaoke cruise said the show must go on. I scrubbed the blood off the boat, and we sang some awesome karaoke. And we still had a phenomenal sunset. They didn't bother to go back and rescue the guy. It was another boat that ended up rescuing the guy. That's nice. Okay. And a couple of other items here in the broken news. From New Jersey, a man cycling in the Palisades Cliffs area last week was just trying to do a good deed when he saw a small snake in the middle of the street. And not wanting the reptile to get run over, because, you know, they're all God's creatures. I know it was a snake, but, you know, you don't want to see any animal perish needlessly. So not wanting the poor little snake to get run over, he stopped and picked the snake up to move it safely to the side of the road. And he got rewarded with a nasty bite on his finger. Couldn't have seen that coming, right? Turns out that the what appeared to be a harmless, tiny little snake turned out to be a poisonous copperhead. Yeah, you don't want to pick those up. You don't know what you're doing. The man, identified as one Dan Geiger, had to head straight to the hospital. He spent two nights in the hospital, but his finger will be just fine. So all's well that ends well, but I bet he doesn't do that again. Next time that snake is on his own. And finally, in the broken news this morning, the odd and unusual side of the headlines, I don't know if you heard about this. You might want to book your trip now. A new sporting event is scheduled to take place in Las Vegas a year from now. Next May, the Enhanced Games, they are calling it. The Enhanced Games. It is a competitive sporting event which not only allows but actually encourages athletes to use performance-enhancing drugs. The same ones that'll get you banned from most other games, they are encouraged in the enhanced games over the course of 4 days. Participants will race, lift, and swim using pharmaceutical enhancements. According to the promotional materials from the company behind this, we are creating a new category of human excellence, a world where performance-enhancing drugs are used safely, openly, and under medical supervision. Champion swimmer James Magnuson is expected to participate, and more athletes are currently being recruited. Okay. Only in Las Vegas. It would have to be Vegas, right? There you go. That is today's Broken News Report, an update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
The Hancock Sports Hall of Fame Golf Outing is Friday, June 27th at Hillcrest Golf Club in Findlay. Register at HancockHOF.com under the Events tab. Registration fee is $300 per team or $75 per person. Proceeds from the outing benefit the Hancock Sports Hall of Fame, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. The Hancock Sports Hall of Fame Golf Outing, Friday, June 27th at Hillcrest. Register at HancockHOF.com. This message provided by WFIN.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. The annual Scripps National Spelling Bee begins today. It is the 100th anniversary of the bee. It has been held each year since 1925, save for the war years in the 1940s, and of course the COVID year in 2020. But for those, this would be the 100th anniversary. It's 100 years ago that the National Spelling Bee was formed as a consolidation of numerous local spelling bees into one big national spelling bee. So, in honor of this year's Scripps National Spelling Bee, a new study is revealing the most misspelled words in America. The company Word Unscrambler used Google search data to determine the most misspelled words. These are the ones, state by state, that are Googled most often to see how they're spelled. That is, how do you spell whatever? The most commonly searched for misspelled words, state by state, in America. Now, nationally, the top five most misspelled, commonly misspelled words, definitely, separate, or separate, necessary, believe, and through. So those are the top five, and you would think some of those would be pretty easy. I would believe that most people know how to spell believe, but apparently not. It's the whole I before E thing in believe. The company says studies suggest heavy reliance on autocorrect weakens spelling skills over time. Researchers call it digital amnesia. We simply forget things that we delegate to technology. And therefore, they say misspellings are not on the rise because we know less, but because we need to know less these days. But I don't know about you. I have autocorrect a lot of times ends up correcting things and changing words to things that I don't really want to. You know, it doesn't always work. But anyway, I digress. According to the data, because I know you're curious, the most misspelled word in Ohio is crochet. C-R-O-C-H-E-T, crochet. That is number one in Ohio. But there are some other interesting ones state by state, aside from the top nationally, the most popular, most common searches for spellings across the country. State by state, some interesting ones. In Alabama, for example, the most misspelled word is different. I find the people in Alabama are a little different sometimes, but apparently they can't spell that. And I thought this was interesting. In Hawaii, the most commonly misspelled word, luau. Now, if anywhere you would think that they would be able to spell luau without looking it up, It would be Hawaii, but that is the number one word in the Aloha state, luau. In Texas, the top word, protect, which is spelled G-U-N. In the state of Texas, that's how they protect what they need to protect in Texas. In Vermont, the most commonly Googled word to learn how it's spelled, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Which, okay, I get it. That's hard to spell. But what in Vermont is inspiring so many people? It's the number one most looked up word on how to spell it in the state of Vermont. I don't know what, I don't know why, you know, what's going on in Vermont. And in Nevada, the most misspelled word is school. In Nevada, it's school. I don't know. I've been schooled in Nevada a number of times at the blackjack tables myself. So they may not know how to spell it, but they know how to do it. You ever been to the casinos there in Nevada? And just like that, the summer season is here. Time to talk programs and activities that are coming up in June. The Hancock Park District, Michelle Rumschlag is here to tell us what's happening. And here we go. I know the Zonta Landing
is open. Weekend. Yep. Yeah. So we are officially open for the summer. So weekends and holidays.
Yeah.
So looks like it's going to be a little warmer. I mean, this weekend was perfect.
Yeah.
But some people like it warmer, so it looks like we're going to be, I don't think have any rain this weekend. I think
I don't
nice.
Think so.
It's a little bit warmer.
Yeah, I think
so,
it's supposed to be pretty nice and warm, and we're off and running. So there is that.
Yes.
What else is going on in the month of June?
So, again, this is just a little bit of what we've got going on, but our full summer calendar, HancockParks.com, so June, July, and August, everything is on the website. So the rest of summer went out last week. So coming up next Monday, June 2nd, is our 23rd annual Peter Rabbit Tea. And we're excited because we're going to be back at Litzenberg this year. We had to do a little hiatus with all the improvements and stuff that happened last year. We went to Riverbend.
Mm-hmm.
And so this year's story actually is the tale of Peter Rabbit. So I portray Beatrix Potter. We read the story in the activity barn. Guests move to the house and are served with tea, quote unquote tea. It's apple juice. but tea and snacks, and then we always highlight someone from the story. So of course, Mr. McGregor is on the lookout for Peter and friends to stay out of the garden area.
Yeah,
there's scavenger hunt and stuff. So we have two tea times on Monday at 11 o'clock, and again at 1 o'clock. And a little change this year, we've actually extended our ages, so it's 4 to 8 years old with an adult. But we please ask that other age siblings do not attend. Normally, you know, story times and stuff, we don't care if other kids are around, but we kind of want this to be a special thing with that child, an adult, or a couple children. So we asked, again, just the 4 to 8s.
Okay.
They're the only ones registering because it's $4 per child. So adults don't need to register. And we do need you to register by this Friday at 1 o'clock.
All right.
Now, I haven't been in the office yet, but I know last week we did have enough for the morning tea and a few in the afternoon tea. So we just need a few more kids, or maybe we already have them. But there is a maximum. It's only, we do 10 or 12 kids per tea time because with the adults and stuff.
Okay.
So definitely if something you want to do, because most kids are out by Friday.
Yeah.
Or by next week or out the end of this week. And so, we'd love to have you come out for our Peter Rabbit tea.
So, both there are slots available for both tea times.
Yes, both times. Okay. Yep, yep.
But it's a limited amount.
We limited them out because we're in the house and with seating and stuff inside the McKinnis house.
So
and
get signed up for that.
Yes.
What else is going on? You're coming up.
Well, we started our archery instruction for again in May, but continuing through the summer, and so we've got one for youth coming up on Tuesday, June 10th. Our youth ages are from 9 until 15. This is, of course, at Oakwoods Nature Preserve in the Dole Lake area. That's where we do all of our archery programs. Just need you to register with $10 per person by that morning. And this is a 1 p.m. start. So a lot of times we do have our archery in the evening. Again, with kids being off of school and everybody's got a different schedule, I'm doing an afternoon instruction at 1 p.m. If you can't hit that one, we do have, again, other times. I know some of the evening for our youth, and then we also have adult archery And so that's, we've got those out through the summer. And then we also do these open shoots. So those are, if you've ever taken archery, which we've had archery for a handful of years now, mm-hmm. and just want to come out and shoot, we do have some open shoots. Again, same cost, just give you a little re-instruction, and then you can shoot. So we also have those times available. But for youth in June, archery, Tuesday, June 10th at 1 p.m.
Okay. All right. Anything else to highlight?
Well, I know you always like talking about what's going on at the McInnes house.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this is going to be a good one, I think. It's going to be berries.
Okay.
So on Sunday, June 22nd, again, at Litzenberg, 1 to 4 p.m., just stop on by. Of course, you know, growing their own food, going in the woods to gather food. So think strawberries, blueberries, raspberries, blackberries,
mm-hmm.
anything that they could find, you know, what's seasonally in the wild. The children would have watched. Are they ripe? You know, birds like to eat those things. So, you know, making sure, mm-hmm. hey, you can collect that. And then doing a variety of things with it. Obviously, eating fresh, making pies. Can you dry them? So we're going to dry some of the fruit. I'm going to test that out before. Because that's, I mean, think that's what they would have done. I mean, eating now and then saving for later.
And I'm thinking that in that era, that would have been a huge treat after a long winter of eating just what you had stored and
root crops and dried things.
You'd be very limited in your diet. So when those fresh berries would, you know, be out, man, that would be a big treat.
Right. I mean, they would have like preserved and things like that, and they would have, you know, like canning and saved fruits that way. Mm-hmm. But and I think your strawberries, if, unless I'm wrong, would be your, one of your first fruits that would be coming out. So we're going to have a variety there again. Making a raspberry pie, and then I'm going to dry some strawberries and blueberries, attempt that ahead of time, and then come on out and eat, or how they would have been doing that. Didn't have dehydrators. I mean, people would do that now, dehydrator oven. So how are they doing it back in the 1840s?
Yeah.
You can come and obviously still those things today. Mm. So June 22nd on Sunday, Berry's Open House from 1 until 4 p.m. Okay. at Litzenberg.
So some of the things that are highlighting the month of June. A lot of other things that are going on. As you mentioned, you do have the full schedule out there. Summer camps are right around the corner. Are those full now?
Most of them are. Okay. We've got an overnight camp coming on June 17th and 18th that we still had some openings for. That's for ages 10 to 14.
Okay.
I know our art camp next month, again, around the same ages, had a few openings. I think our preschool ones are filled at this point.
Okay.
But yeah, and for those that are like, well, it's not even June and camps are filled. Our camps, a lot of them do fill early.
Mm-hmm.
We went live March 1st, and that's going to be that key date that we're going to stick with from now on up. So if you've missed it this year, mark it on your calendar for next year. And we do have other programming for kids. It's not like we just do camps. So there's a lot of activities in case you missed out on camp this year.
And is there a waiting list? I mean, do you have a waiting list for those in case somebody drops out? Or
we don't. I mean, sometimes we mark it down, but with our system, it would charge. It's a whole thing with money that we can't with our online registration.
Gotcha.
Okay. But we do, and I guess that's another thing. If you signed up early, which of course you want to get your spot, and something else has come up, that's fine. We just want to know.
Mm-hmm.
We got to do a little bit in writing, and because we'll have people not show up, and then people that would want to get in.
Yeah.
So if you, as long as you let us know before the deadline, which normally those are the day before, don't wait until that long. And if you don't know, but you can get your money back. Some people just do it as a donation to the parks, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
But this way, you know, if we
open up, those
we can
slots.
Open up those spots.
Yeah.
Jamie is great. We get that on Facebook and let people know.
Okay.
You know, if that happens. So again.
So that's kind of what I'm getting at. If you missed that window, pay attention to the Facebook page. If something comes up.
If something comes up, we can't agree. It's kind of hit and miss with those things.
Okay.
But
very good. Yep. As we mentioned, the entire schedule is out there.
Yes.
All of the parks are open. It's summertime and reservations.
For next year, I mean, if you've got somebody, we're all going through that graduation season now.
Right.
But if you're like
family
me,
reunion
got another season. One graduating next year and need a facility, we do that year to date. So, you know, if you want something for next Memorial Day, you can get online and register for that now.
Okay.
Or even stop by the office. You can still stop by on East Bay Cross there and get something.
Good to know. So lots of things going on. We've got a link on our webpage for more information. And as you mentioned, the complete summer schedule is out now. The Hancock Park District. Michelle Rumschlag, thanks very much for dropping by.
Thanks for having me.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. Want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program this morning. Once again, a reminder, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage. Go to goodmornings.net. You can also connect with us on social media, sign up for our daily email newsletter. And if you're a regular listener to the podcast, we'd appreciate it if you would give us a rating or review on your favorite podcasting platform to help others find the show. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.